Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
I want to begin this evening with underage drinking. Lots to talk about the culture of underage drinking in this country. Children become teenagers. They get invites to house parties. These parties have a drinking element. Sometimes it is even worse. And it may or may not happen with the parents' consent. But do children put parents in an awkward position if they're going to one of these parties? And is underage drinking an inevitability in our culture? I'm delighted to be joined here in Croke Park by Mary McCarthy, columnist with the Irish Independent and Sunday Independent, and Jane Cowan, who's a columnist with the Irish Examiner. You're both very welcome. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Jonathan.
First of all, to you, Mary, you wrote about this.
I did, yeah.
What do you see as being the issue here?
Okay, so in the last few years, there's been a rise of these parties, and they're called gaffs, right?
Gaff parties.
Gaffs, yeah. So it's basically, it's 16 and 17-year-olds, but actually I learned today there's a lot of 15-year-olds also having them, because I got a ton of, I had a hot column today in the Indo, and I got a ton of phone calls and messages about this. So basically, it's parents, they're not supplying the alcohol for the kids, right? But they know it's there. So they don't mind, okay? There's a list that goes out in Snapchat and WhatsApp, and it goes out, and everyone's really excited. And, you know, these are big parties, you know, they're not like 15 kids.
It's not like four or five friends sitting on the couch.
No, these are big parties. Like a friend of mine had one last week, and there was 71 on the official list. A lot more showed up.
71?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think my son has 71 friends.
You'd be surprised. They have a lot of friends these days, Jane, don't they? But so anyway, what happens is, it's kind of like sanctioned drinking, right? So the kids come in, they all bring their own booze, right? And the parents either go out or else they kind of, you know, they go off to a different part of the house. The kids have a great time. Usually they're thrown out about 10:30 or so. And there's bouncers. Because these have become so common, there's actually bouncers available. You can hire a bouncer to come to your gaff. There's bouncers, and it's not just Dublin. I actually got a message today, someone in Salins, they said there's bouncers there too. So
hang on a second. This is coming as something of a shock to me, right? Because I'm a very naive and innocent creature, as you know. So you have a 16 or a 17-year-old who's inviting nearly 100 people to your gaff. Mm-hmm. Bring your own drink, or the drink will be maybe provided to you, and there'll be a bouncer on the door to stop the riffraff. I mean, this to me sounds like more of a nightclub than a private home.
Well, you see, and that is another problem, because there is no discos for these kids. But I have a big problem with these gaffs, because if you have a child and you don't want your teenager to be drinking, because you know it's harmful, you know, and it is harmful. I've got the evidence. I've got the science on my side. What do you do? You're put in an impossible situation. Like, I have a 16-year-old. I don't want him to drink. I don't want him to go to these gaffs.
But does he want to drink?
Of course he wants to drink. You know, he's a teenager. Sure, didn't we all want to drink when we were teenagers? But so the problem is, back in my day, right, and Jonathan, we're the same age, yep, right? There was clandestine drinking. So it was
called bushing back in the day,
yeah,
whereby you'd find some field somewhere.
Yeah.
You'd get someone to get you a couple of cans. You'd sit there, knock them back, go home, try not to fall over or get caught. Now it seems to be more structured and organised, which I'm finding fascinating.
So now my theory is, because parents are so much more protective now, they know they did it themselves, right? And they don't want that uncertainty of their child drunk in a field. So this is why they're saying, well, look, better they drink it in around the kitchen island than drink it in the field. So that's the rationale behind this. I think, look, we need a third way, right? It's 2025. It's not like it was in the 90s. We're able to talk to our parents now and say, you know, we're able to talk to our kids. It's a lot more open. So I think what we need to do is properly educate parents that this is just bad for their brains. Like the reward part of the brain, that develops much quicker than the impulse part. So therefore, those teenage brains, they're primed for it. You know, they're primed to become reliant, you know.
Jane, can I go to you next? Because while myself and Mary may be of similar vintage, you are younger than us.
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Do you understand? I mean, does this surprise you that some houses have bouncers?
I mean, I think the bouncers is nuts. Like, that's wild. I mean, that my parents never would have let that going on.
As a parent, I'm going, I'm not paying for a fucking bouncer.
250 quid?
I'll stand out there myself and look intimidated.
Yeah. I'll do it myself.
Yeah, I'm sure my mother would be much better than a regular bouncer. But I'm not surprised that these parties are being organised at all. I mean, I was lucky when I was at this sort of age, or my parents were lucky, should I say. It was like the middle of COVID. So, you know, I was basically 18 years old by the time we were allowed to live our lives again.
Right, yeah.
So my parents got to like dodge a lot of that. And I absolutely don't envy anyone with like a 16-year-old who you're sending off out into the world to like knowing that they are probably going to try alcohol. But I do also think there's like an element of if it's this mystery thing that your parents are like totally off limits, whatever. Any of my friends that kind of grew up with that attitude, the second they got to college, they found themselves really unable to know their limits and like unable to kind of manage themselves. I've brought so many friends home early from nights out. Like, they just need to be put to bed because they have...
They can't take their drink.
Yeah, they have no concept of how much they're drinking or anything.
And is it a good thing then that it's happening in, we'll call it a controlled environment, even though it's not really a controlled environment?
This is the thing. I think like if you're sending your kids off to some random house and the parents aren't really hanging, they might say, oh, at least they're not in a field, but they're not exactly hanging around, as you say, to like keep everyone...
They're not going around like the parish priest used to, the discos in the 70s, with a flashlight stopping people from being at each other. I mean, they'd very much stepped back, I presume.
Yeah, I don't think they're particularly managing the situation. They're just providing a roof.
Well, a lot of them aren't even in the house. I mean, I do see your point, Jane, but this is the rationale. And, you know, the drinks companies, they love this rationale. They love this, oh, well, you know, better for the 16-year-old to have a few Smirnoff Ice in your house around the kitchen island, better for that than in the field. But what I'm saying is, if enough parents stand up and say, do you know what, I'm not okay with these gaffes, there'll be a tipping point. And then the cool parents will actually, you know, if we can educate them as well, which I do think schools have a part in this, that they should talk to these parents and say, look, and also educate the kids as well and say, look, this is what happens to your brain. Kids, they want to be healthy. They want to be, they're so health conscious now. They want to be happy. Tell them you're more likely to be, get in accidents, do something you regret. All these, your brain is going to be, you know, badly damaged.
I mean, look, the tipping point here between a sleepover where they sit down and watch a movie and a horse load of drink into them, we're talking maybe 6 months. But Jane, does it put people under a huge amount of pressure to say, well, everyone else is going drinking, I suppose I'm going to have to get a few cans as well, even if you don't necessarily want to?
Absolutely. Like, you're a teenager, and at that stage of your brain, you just want to fit in with your friends. You want to be normal. I think also if you're a parent, you have to really look at, you know, what you model for your kids. Because if you're, you know, for example, if you're going out, every time you go out with your friends, you're going to the pub or whatever it is, you know, your kids will see that that's how their parents have fun.
But that's the thing.
How they have fun
as an adult. We used to go to the pub, and that was even when I was 17. The holy grail was to get into a pub and get served drink. I don't think we would have gone to people's houses in college, but I don't think we ever had house parties back then, because the off culture, the idea of bringing booze with you, just simply didn't exist. A couple of texts have come in on this, which I get both of your thoughts on. Kids are drinking less and less, as this listener. It's well documented. Drugs are preferred these days, as there's no age verification when you order them, obviously, and they're cheaper. Someone else says alcohol is too expensive, so drugs are the new underage vice. We worry about a lot of things, Mary. Would there be a concern that there might be one or two bad apples in the barrel if you're going to a house party with 70 people?
I think this is one of the problems, Jonathan, and that narrative is that alcohol is no longer a problem. It's true. Now, the downward trend, it is downwards, right? They're drinking less. So, for instance, the European School Survey, it's on 15 and 16-year-olds. It shows that 12% were drunk in the last month, right? And that was in 2024.
Drunk means...
like really drunk, right?
Falling over.
And that's compared to, in 2019, 16%. So 66% of 15 and 16-year-olds, they have had alcohol. And that is actually down from 72%. So there is a downward trend, which is good news. The problem is the ones that are drinking, there's still a big risk. There's a lot of risk taking still going on. So we still have a problem. And I think that's why alcohol is kind of going under the radar, because parents are like, well, it's the drugs now, right? And actually, no, alcohol is still...
It's the biggest gateway drug going.
It is. And it's also, to me, and I actually got my stomach pumped when I was 15.
Did you?
It was only, yeah, a barman was just determined to call the hospital, and he did. And
how did you get into a pub when you were 15?
It wasn't actually a pub. It was, well, you know, it was a disco. And no, I had a fake ID, right? That's how I got in. But I had just, you know, I can see myself, and I look back now that I have kids that age, you know, I was so vulnerable that night. Anything could have happened, but someone looked out for me. But if I hadn't have been drinking, that wouldn't have happened.
I wonder how effective a bouncer on a house would be if something went wrong. I'd say they'd be the first one into the car, driving in the opposite direction.
Apparently they're quite good. But that's another problem. Like, they turn away kids that are too drunk, that can't walk. But where do those kids go,
Not tonight, but you were obviously looking on horrified, Jane, when mentioned of a fake ID came up there. is that still a big thing amongst the teenage
population?
They do
still exist. They do. I've been told. I wouldn't know from personal experience, I promise.
Well, look, there are probably house parties being planned tonight, and we have just introduced a very awkward conversation between parents and their teenagers. So for that, we thank you very much indeed, Mary McCarthy, columnist with the Irish Independent, and Jane Cowan, columnist with the Irish Examiner.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.